What is up, fellow humans and mutants alike? My name is Kyle. I'm with Danny, and we are going back into a Hickman joint. We miss him so much since he has passed. He's passed away in the X-Men universe, you could say, right?
Well, he's dead to the writers of X-Men, I guess.
Yeah. So we're diving into Hickman's new joint, which is this interesting compendium of Moon Knight stories, Black, White, and Blood. Hickman's story is called Anubis Rex. We also got So White Yet So Dark and The End, which we'll talk about as well. Surprisingly, Hickman's story wasn't the strongest of them.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I would definitely agree on that. It was an interesting story, but we'll dive into it a little more. It's more to do with the setting, I think, that hurt it.
Yeah.
Definitely all anime art-wise, amazing.
Yeah.
I like the fact that they played on the color thematic really well throughout the whole story.
The colors are cool. The design is cool. I dig it. I dig the white and black with the like accents of red pretty much throughout each story. That is really awesome. I like that touch. I'm not sure who does the art on what, because I think they just kind of do random pages. You could tell it kind of changes even mid-story.
Yeah, definitely. There are some panels where you look at it and you're like, no, this is like someone did this different. Someone did this separate from the story and added it in after.
Yeah.
Because they're like, this is really dope. We got to work it into this Moon Knight story, please.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about this cover. Your favorite part about this. The cover of this issue with Moon Knight kind of coming out of the abyss, the blackness. Where's his feet, Danny? Where's his feet?
You'd have to ask his legs, and I can't seem to find those either, Kyle. So, I don't know.
It's a weird pose. I don't know if he's leaning over, like doing a nice like yoga pose right now this dead body.
It makes it like seem like they're so very long.
Or if he's like coming out of like a portal or the abyss. Or something like that, but Moon Knight's just chilling over this body with long legs, it looks like. It looks silly.
The guy who used to do American Splendor was Robert Crumb.
Mm-hmm.
He had this tendency to draw women with really long legs, and this makes me picture it like Moon Knight's got these massive, like thick thighs and legs going down, muscular, but does this tiny little stout upper torso. I feel like someone did that, and they just were like, all right, let's just work this into the rest of the cover. And we couldn't just have it hanging down with his like regular cape, so they wanted to fill it out with the rest. But proportions, they had to, if they would have just brought it down maybe a little more. I don't know. This is just seems like a weird choice. Like, it's it feels hodgepodge.
Like, I have to scroll to get to the bottom of it. So you see him and his upper body. Scrolling down, and you just see his cape and the logo of the moon crescent.
Was his
with a dead body?
Was his upper body different originally? Like, that's what I almost wonder.
So.
Did they take this image of the top part and put
You're saying it was a different like panel somewhere, and they just took it.
They
out?
Don't even flow together. If you look at them, they almost seem like they're opposed to each other.
Maybe, could be. Just weird choice. Weird choice. It looks like he's stretching.
But arguably the worst art part, or the worst part of art in the entire issue is this. Everything else from here is like really interesting and really enjoyable.
Yeah,
the color thematic.
It was fun.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. Before we get into this, I watched Moon Knight. You didn't watch Moon Knight.
I watched Moon Knight from afar.
That show was... people seemed to love it. It was definitely something that... I don't know how to explain it. It's definitely a setup for something more, obviously, so it never wraps up. It's not tight. You don't get a tight story, which I never like anymore. And that's all these Marvel movies, or I guess TV shows.
Well, that's what you said when you first started talking to me about it, is that the first part of it felt like the beginning of a movie and not a part of a TV show. Like, it's like they took the first act of a movie and put it in an episode. And so when it ends, you don't get that natural ending. You're just like, wait a second. So it's as if they wanted to make a movie originally and maybe they settled or transitioned to a show. I don't know for sure, but seeing that vibe of them trying to make movies into television shows just doesn't translate well. And then you lose like character development, you lose progress, pacing, all those things kind of fall on the wayside.
Yeah. Watching Apocalypse go like, oi, governor. is quite amusing. Everyone seemed to hate it. I was having a blast with it.
I mean, I can't imagine Oscar Isaacs was taking this role very seriously after the whole apocalypse snafu. I bet he was coming into this going like, I'm just going to do whatever, and I know people are going to hate it, so fuck it. At least he's unbridled in that sense, but
he did take a direction, that's for sure. Weird choice. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. Definitely felt like the ending felt like a Power Rangers show with two like gods fighting each other, like a kaiju fight, like something from Ultraman
or like Godzilla or something like that.
Yeah, it was so ridiculous.
Okay.
And the CG is so bad these days. Like everything Marvel does, CG-wise,
is so bad. Well, that's what they did at the Loki show too, right? It was just like a big giant monster fighting CG monster fighting the protagonist at the end. Isn't that like they like to end on that? Or any fights Wanda's in?
It was a cloud monster.
Yeah, cloud, like it's magic cloud monster, magic cloud hand farts.
And then Wanda, they had the white, what's his name? Vision, so they had a same versus same battle.
Yeah. And still they never truly pulled from the original Vision. That would have been great if they would have just made him, instead of that dumb costume they did, they'd just make him the alien Vision shows up. Oh. And then he had to deal with that. Now that would have made me watch the show, but they played it close to the chest with that show.
Played it very close. They always play close.
And then they just fucking dropped it right from underneath you and said, hey, here's the movie. Who gives a shit about the show?
Who gives
this
a
is what
shit?
We really wanted to do. We wanted her to kill for her children.
Nah, she's gonna
the blow town
up
was
head.
Just a bullshit experiment. Murdering the world is what she really wanted.
She's gonna say what mouth, and it's gonna cause a lot of people on Reddit to simp for her.
Oh, jeez.
Hard.
You unlock that Reddit community. Watch out.
Yeah, be careful. Be careful. Don't go down
it's
that path.
It's a subreddit. Oh.
God. The Raimi memers. The Raimi memers are getting out of hand, man.
It's a creature. It's like the free market, man. It's kind of run away from itself.
It's kind of run away from itself. Hopefully, it corrects, and it returns to, you know, a good, healthy amount of Doctor Strange memes with some Spider-Man memes.
Good.
And Army of Darkness.
Fucking
memes.
Luck.
Hopefully.
You're trying to rein the internet in? What are you talking about? This is madness.
I believe in the Spider-Man fans to not let that take over too much.
The Raimi-verse is too wide, man. You can't be contained.
You can't
hold it down.
You can't contain the Raimi-verse. You're not wrong. You're not wrong. It's a tough one.
Yeah.
It's a tough one.
It knows no bounds.
It knows no bounds. All right. Let's get into the first story, which is Hickman's story with Chris Bacalo. Bacalo? I'm going to say Bacalo.
I'm going to say Bachelor.
Bachelo, 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 Bachelo.
There used to be an artist named, I believe, Chris Bachelo, that did older X-Men comics back in like 2011. Mm-hmm. So maybe it is Bachelo. Maybe he's writing now. Who knows? Oh, no. See, he did one of the variant covers. So maybe it is so then that would be Bachelo.
Would that be the artist?
Yeah. I think that's how I heard the name say back in the day.
Okay.
I like Bacalo, though.
Bacalo. Hey, Bacalo.
Anubis Rex is a false title. It made me think that at some point Namor was going to show up in this, and he didn't, so I was already mad at Hickman off the bat.
Oh, right.
I was like, Anubis Rex, is that like a Namor nod? What's about to happen?
What's going
to
happen here?
And then you actually read it, and you're like, I was not expecting this. Moon Knight in space?
Yeah, it's Moon Knight in space, right? And he's an interesting design choice. That's for sure. Let's start out with this story. He's hanging out in like a space pyramid.
Yeah, his weird little space base.
And he's talking about
floating through space.
As he's there, he's talking about the god Ren, the god before Ra. What was the name of it? I already forgot.
I thought he was talking about the god of Ra going through this.
I thought
like
it was...
in the beginning, he said Ra split itself into multiple pieces and scarabs throughout space and time, and he's or throughout space specifically, and he's going to collect them, which was already weird because him in space in his weird space pyramid floating around, saying like I'm Moon Knight, I'm just trying to find pieces of Ra to reassemble them. That's bizarre. That is already a bizarre premise, but I mean, it fit for like what Hickman was doing before with X-Men and putting them in these weird future jumps where they're doing obscure things. So
yeah.
I was intrigued. But still put off because, you know, Moon Knight's got to be in the city. That's what he's about.
You would think so, right? Yeah. He would be a very neighborhood type spider, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man type, as we'll see in the next issue.
Yeah.
Or the next story. But no, he's out traveling the space. I should also mention that I don't know too much about Moon Knight. Do you know too much about Moon Knight? I read a little bit of the Jeff Lemire run. I read the Bendis run during the reboot, the retcon, where they made him like a schizo and he didn't know first.
See, the problem is that I did know a lot about Moon Knight at one point, and then they changed a lot about Moon Knight, so what I knew about Moon Knight was irrelevant, so I know something about a Moon Knight. I don't know who this Moon Knight is pulling from. And honestly, at this point, with all the different iterations and his weird multi-personality becoming those iterations in their own issues and having their own series, like I'm just like, I'll just assume this is another fucking personality of Moon Knight, Space Moon Knight. And I'm okay with that, but yeah, I'm pretty green on a lot of this.
Yeah, same here. So yeah, he's in his weird pyramid. We see this. We see him, which is he looks like Kratos almost. I want to say.
The armor wise, yeah, like he's got kind of that battle armor design on his like his flesh and his skin, and when he wears his clothes, kind of meshes with a bit of a Kratos vibe.
But yeah, conquering the stars is a weird choice. It's like a space Stargate type of thing where fucking Anubis and Ra was all just this alien race that came and enslaved the people.
It's taken this weird dichotomy where it's actual just advanced civilizations controlling the development of the planet and not celestial beings, or, well, divine beings, to be exact. But still weird, because Moon Knight and Stargate are very, I mean, the Egyptian themes is the overlap, and that's it. I never thought, like, you know, oh, you know what would be great if they did a Moon Knight story that kind of played off of Stargate. I'm like, no. No, those two things are great by themselves. You're saying you, like, enjoy, like, you know, oh, I like barbecue sauce, and it's like, well, yeah, but fuck it. I also like money, so let's just mix them together. And, you know, it's like, no, they're good in their own worlds and their routes they go down. Let's keep Moon Knight on the streets. I mean, this space stuff is just bogging him down.
Yeah.
It makes him seem funny. Like, he's more of a galactic being and out of place. Like, this is almost... I don't even know why they did Moon Knight. They could have done, like, Guardians of the Galaxy or anything else. This could have just been Star-Lord.
Yeah. But, yeah, so we get this kid that's kind of, like, following around as he does this, right?
Yeah, at first, you think it's just some random, like, this person he saved. But it turns out he's actually like a ward of her, he's like her knight, because she's some established princess of the moon.
Something.
She's like Princess Mononoke. I don't.
She's Princess Mononoke. She's on the moon pounding mochi with the two rabbits. It's kind of weird that we always see a man on the moon, Westerners, and they're like, no, man, we see two rabbits pounding mochi on the moon. I don't know what you guys are seeing over there in the West.
What's this talk about? Cheese. No, mochi. Mochi. You're crazy.
Come on.
Fucking A, man.
So we got this Moon Knight. He's going traveling. I don't know where this is exactly. We see him kind of jump out into this like space pyramid thing. From his space pyramid thing.
Yeah, they land on a planet, and they leave their pyramid for another one. And there's like a nice Anubis statues and stuff. And he brings her along and leaves the dog because he makes explicit note that I like the dog, so I'm going to leave the dog behind.
Leave the dog behind. Because he doesn't want the dog to die. You never want the dog to die.
Yeah. Even she's like, when we get back, kind of pancakes. And he's like, no, the dog likes pancakes. Sorry.
And as they're traveling, like, we get, like, this, like, everything, like, around the environment's kind of, like, changing around them. We get some, like, Egyptian talk, and then we get, like, this weird Frosty the Snowman popping up behind the little girl.
Yeah, it's like a monstrous Frosty the Snowman while he's being attacked by, like, a weird Anubis guard-looking statue monster creature. I don't even... It's such a cacophony of shapes and colors and design. And the fact that they're muted with just black and white and the X and a red, it makes it even more distorted. Because you see this gibberish. It's just straight up gibberish. You can't decipher in any way, shape, or form. And he's fighting against it. So it's meant to be visually confusing because it wants you to be disoriented from the experience. If that's the case, then that's actually kind of cool. If not, it's a mess.
But it sure is.
But they're fighting? No one. I can't tell who's winning or losing. And then weird monster snowman shows up and tries to eat snowman. The girl.
Snows up. Tries to eat him.
Does then, eat Moon Knight, I think. They're inside Moon Knight now, I believe.
And then...
Oh, she gets pulled in with
she
him.
She gets pulled in because she's in, like, the side there. You see the image where it's all red.
Yeah, yeah.
And then... yeah. So chaos happens. I don't really know. Yeah, you see him kind of pop out. She's still in there. And I guess she pops out, too, when he slashes out. Kind of chaotic art direction-wise there, because I still don't really know what's happening.
Yeah, I get that he's saving her, because he's kind of popping out on the... You could see Moon Knight's head in the bottom right panel on that page when they're busting out. But his head is not shaped naturally, so it blends in with the environment as, like, an object. Like a ridiculous part of the chaos that's exploding.
No, it's a little, there's too much noise, I feel. A lot of noise, and I don't really see the action and direction of the action too much. But ultimately, they get out, right?
Yeah. And that's when she reveals, I am the priestess of Khonshu, and he is my knight.
And he is.
And so they're on a space adventure, and he's just being reluctantly dragged along. Yeah. That's why he doesn't like her.
That's why he doesn't like her. And they find this scarab, right? Because they mentioned the scarabs. At one point, they mentioned that Anubis... Was it Anubis or Ra?
Ra.
Was divided into, like, 2,000 scarab pieces, right?
Yeah, yeah. He was spread out the universe in, like, multiple parts. And I guess they're out to try to reassemble him off of?
Yeah.
Their adventure really isn't defined as well. It feels like there might be a backstory to this, or this might be something new that's going to get fleshed out later.
Maybe, yeah, again, we didn't read, so maybe something's happening in this universe that we're not sure of. Let us know if you know. But so they find the scarab, and that's pretty much it, right? Yeah. Oh, and then they kind of like, you see him kind of escape, not escape, but you see them leaving the situation. The whole time you saw this red balloon that she kind of carried, and throughout the whole battle, like, it kind of bounced around, it got caught on stuff. And then we see this last panel of Moon Knight carrying the balloon with the little girl behind, and she's just kind of like complaining, hungry, she wants pancakes, I'm gonna get steak.
He says, dog likes steak too, can't have that, sorry. And then she's like, well, I'll take anything except soup. And he's like, you getting soup and you're going to like it.
So it's like, it's establishing this vague kind of relationship between these two that, like, they just finished a mission. They're about to take a break, get some food, get some soup, I guess, and go on another adventure soon. Who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah, because it just ends there. Yeah. That's it.
It just ends there. Jonathan Hickman. Interesting. I feel like you need to give Hickman like 48 pages to stretch out or to really let him, like, he's like, you know, he's not like a joke man. He's like a storyteller. You got to let the punchline build over time with Hickman.
He needs more room to run. You have to give him time to build out like a larger story and then have like a reveal that's going to twist off of something he set up earlier on. If this is going to be some bigger story that plays into something else, then that'd be cool. But I don't know. I'll have to see another one of these issues to make a true judgment on what the premise is, or look up a little more about like where this originated from, if this is a new story or if it has like a pre-story that I got to dive through.
We'll find out. We shall find out. On to the next
slow start, though, for him.
Story. A little slow.
For
little
him
slow
to leave, like, it seems like he is just like, I mean, there were some good jokes here and there, like little like snickers, but that story was... weak for what I expect from him.
We'll see if he does more, if that's it, who knows. We'll keep up on it and see what happens. But let's go on to the next one. So White Yet So Dark by Iodella.
Yes,
we're gonna get names so wrong and you're gonna like it. And Akande Doton Akande. So this one starts off with Moon Knight hanging out on top of the streets where he should be, I feel. You know, not in space in a Stargate spaceship.
Doing his best Batman, but not Batman pose.
Doing his best Batman, but not Batman. And out comes good old Spider-Man. Spider-Man rocking that red in this black and white comic.
Yeah, they were actually able to pull his colors off perfectly, and he fits in the contrast of how Moon Knight feels to him.
Yeah,
visually specifically.
Yeah, and he's just like, "Hey, man," and Moon Knight's like, "Nope, nope." And he's like, I don't even ask anything. You don't even know what I'm about to ask. And he's like, what are you even doing, man? I don't even know what you're doing. What are you even doing? Egyptian stuff? I bet you it's Egyptian stuff.
Yeah, he literally says that. He says, I bet you're doing Egyptian stuff. And he's like, I'm busy.
And it's, yeah, he's just like, I'm busy and all this. And he's like, come on, just help me. I'll help you with the thing if you help me and all this. And that's how the adventure starts. And they're off.
Reluctantly.
He's reluctant. He's like, let's get it over with. Yep. Yeah.
And they just leap into the night.
So, yeah, out into the night they go. And they're chasing this truck, right? And this truck is transporting...
a crimson scarab.
Crimson scarab to an unknown location.
And Spider-Man gets a bright idea to ask, like, hey, by the way, what are we doing?
Yeah. He's like, what is happening?
What
he's like, yeah,
to?
So, yeah, we're looking for the scarab. And he's just like, so Egyptian stuff. And he's just like, fuck you. Yeah. Fuck you.
He does say that. Yeah. He says, fuck you. He also makes fun of him because when he does his little, like, hook shot with his weird, like, Daredevil staff, Spider-Man just thwips it with ease. And
yeah.
And he's just like, I can feel your smug look looking at me through your mask, like, I get it. You can swing around, too. Congrats.
Good job, buddy. But yeah, they're swinging around, chasing this truck, and then bam, out of nowhere, just like punched to the face by Moon Knight by this giant fist.
Looks like a Sentinel
from Marvel vs. Capcom 2 Sentinel.
Yeah, it does.
Almost.
Oh, yeah, especially the shoulders and the legs got that boldness.
Yeah, and... Spider-Man's kind of taken aback for a second. He's like, did you just... And then he figures it out, like, robot, okay, cool. And then we get this, like, really cool kind of montage around the page. It's like a two-page spread with a bunch of panels. But in the center, we have Spider-Man just, like... He's, like, punching downwards. The robot's punching downwards. And Spider-Man's just punching upwards, not even looking at him.
And just
crushing the arm, pretty much.
Yeah, just holding it back like it's an immovable force against the robot. And it's really the best shot of the entire issue. Like, this is the crowning achievement right here.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's awesome. Check out this panel.
It's like a freaking poster. It's amazing. And then Moon Knight is just like, oh, God, what's happening? Yeah. Spider-Man's just very casual about it. Because he also keeps been dropping, like, these lines about, like, you know, Spidey's super strength and shit, you know?
Yeah.
You know, with my help, my super strength might be able to handle this. What about we try my super strength? Now watch me whip the shit out of this robot.
Yeah. So we get this.
And then we cut to this guy flying away?
Then we cut to this guy flying away, which was apparent. Was he the driver? Well, let me go back a couple pages.
He was. He was the other guy.
Yeah, he's the driver.
Yeah, he's the driver. So when the robot jumps out and the fucking vehicle gets wrecked, he just bails and flies away.
Yeah. Weird. And he has a scarab around his neck.
The red scarab.
The red scarab. And they're flying away. And... from behind, you get freaking Moon Knight with this giant glider that Spider-Man's just hanging on. And this thing's obnoxiously huge. It's rude how huge this thing is.
It's almost as if, like, what is this going to do when you're in tighter, like, corridors? Like, when you're trying to, like, oh, I got to navigate these trees. It's like, there's no fucking way. You're fucked. Or if he's like, I got to go around these tight buildings. Oh, fuck, I'm stuck between two buildings.
There's a pretty good joke in Harley Quinn where Kite Man is in a restaurant, and then he just pushes his button, and his kite comes out, and he's like... And then Ivy's just like, can you put this away? And he's just like, it's kind of hard. Anyone got an Allen key around here? Aww. This is going to be a little tough. that's what I imagine. Like, after you land, like, what is the takedown? What do you got to do to, like, get this off of you? What's the prep time?
My first takeaway was a Dollar Bill from Watchmen, where that's just, like, how he got killed by getting his cape stuck in, like, the revolving door. Yeah, and yeah. I just, like, picture, like, him, like, stuck in, like, mid-level in the street, and he's, like, right above the villains, and he can't quite get to them, and they're just right there dangling, and they're like, let's fucking ice this dude. Just shoot him. Oh man, what a weird concept. Is this them trying to distance themselves from the Batman aspect? Like he's more absurd.
I feel like they're going with an absurd Batman thing here. That's what I got. Like they're making a knock at Batman and how ridiculous his
random okay, shit so
is.
It's even more of a dig at Batman and less than them trying to say like, no, we're not like Batman. Look how over the top he is. Like Batman goes to 10, we go to 11. Look at these fucking wingspan.
Yeah. But while he's on it, we're kind of getting at what Spider-Man wants, and he's just like, just lend it to me. Why won't you lend it to me? Cap would lend me stuff. Why don't you lend me stuff?
Oh, but he's talking about it. Now he's talking about something else. This is like another suit that he wants to borrow.
The other thing, yeah. The other suit. And, so we get them bantering back and forth as they're just like flipping around the city following him. And it's in, they're literally bantering back and forth, and they like run into ghosts.
Yeah, because he activates the scarab.
He activates the scarab.
So these like fucking old Egyptian ghosts just rise up out of the ground, and Spider-Man's like, "What do we do?" And it's like, "We run because we cannot fight them, but they can fight us." And Spider-Man's like, "Oh, you've told me way too late." He's just getting whomped on by them in the background. His Moon Knight's already long gone.
He's gone. But then out of nowhere, he rocks the Ghost Ripper armor, and it's just like, he looks like a samurai with the Khonshu mask, pretty much.
Yeah, with a little bit of like a old like Victorian era apothecary look to it, with like that beak, you know, that you would see, but it definitely has the Khonshu vibe too. And he just starts wailing on him because he's ghost touch, which affects ghost like creatures.
Yeah, so he's going to town on the ghost now, and out of nowhere comes
literally
fucking
blew up the face on one of them in that bottom panel.
Oh yeah,
right?
Just fucking blows it up. But out of nowhere comes Anubis, just fucking punches through the building. This is like the ending of fucking Moon Knight right here. It's this ridiculous, but with bad CGI. At least this is good art.
Yeah, this looks great because then you look in the top right corner, and then you have that nice little shot of like he's still fighting the ghost. Moon Knight's fighting him on top of the building while Anubis is busting out, and then you have Spider-Man who's like being pummeled by ghosts and like trying to hang on to the building, and he's just like, what the fuck, Anubis now? He's just like, can't handle how much this keeps amping.
He's just like, what is happening, what is going on?
He can't even deal with the ghost yet, and Anubis right here in his face. This is a good issue so far.
It's good. So he like, as this is happening, the guy is kind of on Anubis, right? The guy with the scarab. So
he's piloting him like it's his mech.
So he goes in, Moon Knight goes in and kind of smashes it from him, right?
Yep, swoops it from him right off him because he needs to shut down these fucking ghosts.
Mm-hmm. And then essentially once that happens, this fucking Anubis is like, all right, cool. Just keep it safe now.
Yeah.
Right? That's it. Yeah,
Moon Knight has this big, long apology that's, like, really heartfelt and, like, really close, and then Spider-Man realizes, oh, you're not talking to me. I thought you were talking to me. You're talking to Anubis. And Anubis is like, yeah, man, just take care, buddy. Keep it safe. Spider-Man's like, fuck. But then we get the final twist at the end.
But, I should mention, too, before we get to the twist, he essentially gives Spider-Man what he wanted. He gives him the Mr. Knight coat. And he even mentions it's for just have fun. Return it after your gala, because Spider-Man is going to the Hellfire Gala this year. July 2022. You ready, Danny? Hellfire Gala Part 2.
That's unfortunate, because see, when I read that, I'm so removed from that in my head that when I read that, I was like, oh, Spider-Man, you know, he has a company. He's got a lot of money. He's going to a fancy ball.
Nope.
I thought it was just some innocuous fancy ball. You had to come and ruin this story.
Yep.
I guess he can't. This story was too good. I can't. Especially this twist. But he's got the Mr. White suit now.
He's got
Mr. Knight,
Knight suit, yeah. So I imagine he's going to rock that at the Hellfire Gala. As Moon Knight drags away this dude that could fly randomly and has a bone in his pants.
Well, I think he could fly because he had the scarab. I think that was a part of the deal. He was using it to, fly.
So that incident ends, and then we cut to Moon Knight hanging out, another night.
For Moon Knight.
Knight. And as he's hanging out, we hear, yay, Moon Knight! And we see a dude in a robe with some fuzzy handcuffs, and out of nowhere comes Deadpool. And Deadpool is just like, hey, man, you know, I heard about the Mr. Spidey or the Mr. Knight suit. And he's just like, no. He cuts him off. He's like, no. And he's just like, but Spidey. And he's like, no, no. And he's like, he regrets. You could see Moon Knight, even though you can't really see his face, you know, he regrets his actions. Because now
his head's got a nice tilt to it, and the eyes look down and crestfallen. I really feel like he's belabored there. Yeah.
Everyone wants his suit now. It's great.
Yeah, especially I like that he kicks up that leg, and then you see the like the fuzzy rabbit slippers on.
He's doing is this Captain Morgan pose?
Yeah, did he just wake up or something? And he's just going out,
you know, having a night.
Having a night in his bathrobe.
His jam jams, yeah.
But yeah, this was. And then they still killed it with the Deadpool colors.
And then the Deadpool, yeah, with the reds, yeah. That was fun. That was fun. I really dug this one, for sure. This was a fun issue.
The scarabs feel like they're relevant to something from Moon Knight's past, but I get the vibe enough without not being too out of the loop. Yeah. I mean, they showed us how the powers were working and such, like at least with the ghost. And like the tie to Anubis was cool, and then there was fun Egyptian stuff without it being too hammy. The hammy parts were good, the weird fucking wing suit attachment. So, yeah, this was a good issue.
Not bad at all. Moon Knight. Yeah, felt good. Felt nice. Felt fun. Felt like a fun, grounded issue. I like those. Those are my favorite.
Though both Moon Knight and Deadpool did not seem to be as crazy as you would expect them to be from what I remember them in the past.
Right. He like, these guys had random
shit.
It
was a very like. It was a very calm and coherent conversation, even though it was like a little jokey and self-referential. I mean, Deadpool's not even talking in his boxes anymore. What happened to that stuff?
No, yeah.
He doesn't do the yellow ones anymore with the red. Know. How unfortunate. I always enjoyed that.
Good question. Good question. Oh, I guess,
well, they couldn't do yellow in this. They could do red. Oh, they did give him the red outline.
They did give him the red.
Yeah, if you look real close. Oh, shit. Sneaky. All right. Cool. It makes sense because they can't do yellow in this. This is black, white, and red.
All right, let's go to the last issue, and we start off with like a fucking
Moon Knight shot dead on the ground,
pretty much fucked.
Yeah, he's definitely looks like he's bleeding out bad. Doesn't look like
he can make it.
It's snowy,
and he's with a lady. I'm not sure who this is exactly.
She's got blood on her, too.
She's got blood on her. And he's just all like, I have to... Dead. Essentially, he's trying to get Mr. Knight to come out. He's like, I have to leave it to Mr. Knight. She can run now. And as it's happening, he's just kind of bleeding. It's very slow, right? It's just like, he walks a little bit. He's bleeding. This woman's just like yelling.
It's film noir. That's what Mr. Knight.
It is very film noir. They keep running. As they're running, we see that someone's kind of watching them through a scope. Who's sniping at him? Who's got that sniping? Who's got the good sniper ground? Make sure you watch back. Never know.
It's fucking... Oh, my God, Punisher! No. Yeah. That would have been a funny twist.
Oh, man, that would have been interesting. So they run to the courthouse. He even mentions that they'll have a sniper. Like, he just knew.
Mm-hmm.
Like, careful, they'll have a sniper. It almost felt like 50s, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel a sniper if I...
Charlie's in the trees. Charlie's. It's just... Okay.
But yeah, they're running, and they run... It looks like there's even conflict that happens, and they just kind of run past it as we see... I forgot this character's name. I think they mention it later. But there's this character in red as well that just gets a fucking a moonerang. Is that what those are called?
I would assume.
I kind of feel like
moonerang feels right.
A moonerang. I'm going to call him a moonerang. Right to the eye, right? It's kind of backwards, too. We see him on the ground, and then we see kind of the fight.
Yeah, it's where they're doing like the Tarantino thing where they're like, this is what happened that led to this point where I'm like dying.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's fighting this guy. He's, this is before he was bleeding out, all over the place. And,
Red Blade. That's his name. They reveal it on the next page. I kept wanting to say like Scourge or something generic like that, but I'm like, no, it's like something specific. Playing with the thematic. Red Blade. Oh, they just called him Blood Blade.
Oh, there you go.
Doing even better.
So, yeah, as that's happening, we get a car crash kind of take place. It kind of goes, it's kind of fast paced, right? We get this kind of like crash takes place. They kind of go off after that.
Yeah, well, she's on the run. They're going to try to kill her because she's going to testify. Yeah. She's someone who's actually going to testify against the mob.
We start to get that as they get into the car that she's revealing that she's involved.
The reason that this Red Blade guy isn't on the scene is because they're responding in kind because she hired Moon Knight to protect herself. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, you kind of fucked up by doing that because now they saw that you had a suit, like a suit on the scene. They got their own responding kind.
Yeah.
And so that's why things are now amped up. And he's like, dude, I'm going to drive this car. And see Moon Knight drive a regular ass car, but it just has the moon logo on the front. It's kind of the funniest
thing. It's great. He runs some, he just whacks a person and he talks about like, why did you go so fast and run him over? And he's just like, it's kind of like how a deer, like if you run into a deer, you want to go as fast as possible. So aerodynamics, will make it kind of go over the roof. If you go too slow, it'll just run right through your face and your windshield.
Yes.
And he was just like, same thing with human.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, that's pretty much how it works. You got to understand this. And the guy's just boop.
Yeah.
Wink. Gone.
Yeah. The limo is interesting. He has the ending of Moon Knight in the TV show. He had a similar limo. It didn't have the Moonlight logo. It had like, what did it say? Spectre. It said Spectre on front.
Yeah, because you know Moon Knight's true identity is a guy named Spectre, and you're like, oh, this guy named Spectre is Moon Knight.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Whatever. Fucking MCU is all over the place. It's nonsense now. But yeah, so he runs over this guy. They were talking about this soup called Bulldozer. This low level soup called Bulldozer. It kind of looks like a Colossus. Like, not Colossus.
Juggernaut. Juggernaut. Yeah, type. Like a poor man's Juggernaut.
Poor man's Juggernaut of the sort. And more or less, he's going to do some juggernauting or whatnot. But she's still giving up information about who she worked for and whatnot.
Her place in the industry, how she was the accountant, and that she can name everyone, but she needs this protective custody because when she had the police protecting her, they all died, and then the blood that you see earlier is now revealed to be the blood of the police officers that were always protecting her. So there you go. That's why Moon Knight's needed. It's already amped up to that point. Yeah. The other guy's name is Don Fortuno? Fornato?
Fornato?
Fortunato?
I lost it. Don Fortunato.
Fortunato.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. It's just Don. It's like the Spanish Don Fortune.
I know. It's just interesting. Oh, jeez.
These names are ridiculous.
Oh, Lily wrote this on the next page with the car going away where it's screed.
Yeah. That's I like that sound effect. Cool. That was cool.
Yeah, that actually does add to the feel, the visual. Well, they're in a limo.
They have a moment where they stop and they talk about the limo, and she's like, yeah, it's built by the president, bitch. What are you going to do about it? So, they leave. They go into this garage for a second.
And he's going to put on his work clothes.
He's going to put on his work clothes, and he changes to Mr. Knight, the Mr. Knight persona. And, he's just like, I'm going to help you survive the night. And she's just all like, dude, I'm like all bloody. I was under like police protection, all this shit. I'm supposed to testify in the morning. And she's just like, I heard you. It's almost like it's starting now. The story is starting now. Mm-hmm. This was just all the lead up to the story, right?
Yeah.
She's like, this is me. This is my name. This is my story.
Yeah. And this is.
And he's just like, welcome. More or less.
Yep. Right. He's like, I am now here to help.
Yeah. And, how can I help you is pretty much the last thing he says.
It ends this real cool thing where it's just black and white, all on him in his chair, and then everything behind him is red.
Yeah.
That is a good shot.
It's a pretty good shot, yeah. You see
more of that film noir.
You see, like, an Anubis in the background. You see some cool statues, a fern, a couple ferns. You can never go wrong with a fern. Oh, there's a quote by Kierkegaard at the bottom. Life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards.
All right.
Yeah, it works. Whatever.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I like this. The next page, we get kind of like a next and a preview to the next
very
chapter.
90s. That's a very 90s Moon Knight right
there. Look at that. panel, or probably cover.
It's extreme.
Ooh, I dig that. I dig that right there.
He's got so many rib cages. Look at that. He's got like a fucking 12, 16 pack.
I know, right? Fucking. I don't know what's going on. You wash your clothes on those abs, man.
You can chisel with it. I need to crack this diamond. Just stand still.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
But that does it for the third story in this comic and the ending of this issue. What did you think overall?
Hickman's was the weakest. Third one was the second best, and the second one was the best.
Second one, yeah, absolutely. I agree with that ranking. That's pretty much my order as well.
The third one felt the most like a Moon Knight story.
Yes.
But I had a lot of fun with just the juxtaposition between Moon Knight and Spider-Man and then Deadpool at the end. Like how that
was
all
great.
Fit in.
That was great. Like, that was a great moment.
It was organic, too. Like all those characters showing up and messing with each other at least felt, for the most part, like they would. Because especially Deadpool, as of late, has always been like kind of doing the city stuff and hanging around. Like he's like, what? He still has like Staten Island or something, right?
I don't know. Yeah, that's where I fell off. He was the king of Staten Island for a while, and he made it because he was jealous of the mutants. So he's like, I'm gonna do my own shit with hookers and blow from the island.
From the island, my own hooker and blow island. Fuck your island, mine's better.
Yeah. So I don't know what's happening.
Because to explain the rope, he was busy hanging out on his island.
Yeah. So who knows? Yeah. Yeah, overall, I enjoyed this for the most part. It was amazing. I wanted to read this because of Hickman, and his story was kind of the weakest.
Yeah, that's bizarre, right? I was taken aback by that as well.
So, we'll see what when the next issue is released, what happens. Maybe we'll keep up with this. Maybe we won't.
Do you know if it's a continuation of these stories, or is it a different anthology?
No clue. Oh, no clue. I went into this as blind as possible.
Hmm.
So, I'm going to keep it that way.
Well, if the Moon Knight show keeps being popular, then it'll keep going.
Probably.
Where do you think he fits? Do you think he fits into the next gen of Avengers? Like, what's the next gen of Avengers? Of the MCU? Do you feel like it's going to be people like Wanda's sister, and then, I don't know, Spider-Man won't be around anymore, but...
They're probably going to do
America Chavez?
I don't know.
And then Moon Knight.
Midnight Suns, like Blade, and you already got the Black Knight.
Are those guys going to be Avengers?
No, it's going to be like a side story. Maybe for the final one where they all like get everyone together, sure, they'll count them as Avengers. But for the most part, I don't think there'll be a big player in the Avengers.
So you think he's going to be like a side character in the MCU, not like a... Like a mainline, actually.
I think it's going to be like... I think we're going to see a bunch of... different things grow. So I think he's going to be like this Midnight Suns story that grows.
He's going to show up alongside of the fucking Blade and Black Knight.
Then we'll see like Avengers grow into its own thing. And then we'll probably see like X-Men grow in its own thing.
Fantastic Four. Yeah.
And then they'll probably all mash them all together in Secret Wars somehow.
Aren't they doing Secret Invasion, right? That's the thing. They're gearing up for Secret Invasion again. They're already redoing their own stories. Isn't that fucking insane?
That is pretty funny.
They're not only redo of a comic. It's just like, because they had Secret Invasion 2, but this Secret Invasion is technically aping off what the original Secret Invasion storyline was going to be. But they couldn't get the scrolls. They didn't have those yet. So they're like, fucking Chitauri. And now their wings are in the fucking Morbius universe because it's Morbin time. There you go.
Morbin time.
Boom.
It's Morbin time, bitches.
I tied it all fucking back around.
There we go. It all comes back to Morbius somehow. Good stuff. We'll see where it goes from there. Maybe next week we'll just talk about Western movies.
I'm down.
Who knows?
I'm down.
Who knows?
Old Henry's great.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. But that'll do it for us this week, folks. Remember, the robots will kill you. So go see a doctor if you have the same issues that Moon Knight struggles with. That's probably not healthy. Get that fixed.
ED affects all men between the ages of 45 and 62. Mm-hmm.